People who know Staff Sergeant Robert Bales describe him as a gracious high school football captain, a mature and calm American patriot who joined the Army after 9/11. But there were also some conflicting narratives more recently. A man stressed by 4 deployments, a man with some marital problems. Bales is now accused of killing 16 civilians in Afghanistan last week, including 9 children. It's an incident that's been called one of the worst war crimes of the Iraq and Afghanistan conflicts, and he's awaiting trial at a detention facility in Fort Leavenworth, Kansas.
He is being treated just as every other pretrial soldier or service member who comes through the Joint Regional Correctional Facility.
That is Fort Leavenworth spokeswoman Rebecca Steed. The Army is questioning Bales, and as new facts about his life emerge, including details about foot and head injuries, a mild traumatic brain injury is suffered as well, it's unclear how much these competing narratives will end up shaping the case and the verdict. Joining us now, Elizabeth Buemiller, Pentagon correspondent for our partner, The New York Times. Thanks for joining us, Elizabeth.
Glad to be here. Good morning.
First of all, it seems clear that he will, in fact, be tried in the United States. How does that complicate the proceedings when they're having to fly witnesses in from overseas?
Well, obviously, it complicates them a great deal, even if I'm just imagining this here, but I can't imagine going to an Afghan villager and saying, we'd like to put you on a plane for the first time in your life and take you to the United States, and the American military will take care of it after you've witnessed what Sergeant Bales is accused of doing. It's going to be a tough one.
So this could end up taking years.
That seems to be the consensus from everyone who we've spoken to, is that it will take a number of years. I heard at least 2 the other day, just because of the way the military system works and because of how carefully the prosecutors want to proceed with this case.
Obviously, we're in very early days. We are getting some statements from Sergeant Bales' lawyer, though, and they appear to hint that he's going to argue about diminished capacity. Is there some version of insanity defense in military justice?
There is not, but what I think from what you're right. From what we can see from the statements that the lawyer has made, Mr. Brown, he's going to. It seems like he's going to lean very heavily on Sergeant Bales's 4 deployments, and his the mild traumatic brain injury, what seems to be PTSD, post traumatic stress disorder. Sergeant Bales lost part of a foot. His Humvee flipped over in Iraq, and he had some sort of a mild brain injury as a result of that. And there's to some degree, it seems to be that he's going to put the war on trial to some degree and argue that these 4 deployments, were part of the problem here.
So if the military doesn't have a version of the insanity defense, how does that come into play? Does that only apply if they decide to seek the death penalty?
Well, again, this is all premature.
Obviously, yeah.
I can't answer that question. I can tell you that they don't even know what they're going to charge him with right now. The possibility, of course, is first-degree murder, which does carry the death penalty. However, the military has not used the death penalty since 1961, and there are now only about 6 to 8 people, I was told yesterday, who are on death row in the military. I don't know what diminished capacity exactly involves. I think we're going to see that it involves. I think the lawyer, if I can see where he's going, possibly could talk about these past injuries, and again, just the stress of repeat deployments. There have been plenty of studies that have shown, well, actually conflicting studies, but there have been recent studies that have shown that these repeat deployments have taken an enormous toll on soldiers in terms of morale problems and PTSD.
We're speaking with Elizabeth Buemiller. She is the Pentagon correspondent for our partner, The New York Times. We're talking about Staff Sergeant Robert Bales, who at this point is accused of killing 16 civilians, including 9 children in Afghanistan. But, Elizabeth, we've had 44 other soldiers who've been charged with either murder or manslaughter of Iraqi or Afghani,
right.
Afghan civilians since 2001. What have we learned from the prosecution of those cases?
Well, we have learned that of those 44, the vast majority were convicted. The 44 soldiers tried for murder or manslaughter in the last 10 years, from 2001 to 2011. 30 were convicted of some form of homicide. 6 were convicted of other offenses, and 8 were acquitted. And that is a but in some cases, very high profile cases like the Haditha killings, where there were Marines were linked to killings of 24 men, women, and children in the Iraqi city of Haditha during the Iraq War. The charges against most of those Marines were dropped. However, there's been other cases. There's the rogue kill team case, which actually they were soldiers from the same base in Washington State. 11 of those of the 12 soldiers who were tried were convicted. So I guess if there's a pattern here, many more are actually convicted.
But the Afghan government and Hamid Karzai has asked for a completely open, transparent proceedings. Is that even possible in a military trial of this case, in which they could argue that there is a national security at risk?
They could argue that, sure, but many of these, I can't predict what's going to happen. I would not be surprised if this trial was open, given the high profile nature of it, and given, frankly, the political pressures on the United States to do this in a transparent way. The Afghan government is already upset right now that Sergeant Bales is not being tried in Afghanistan, but that did not seem like that was ever going to happen. They had, we don't even know where this is going to be tried here.
Yeah, although the hints so far have been that he will be tried in the U.S., I've heard. Although I wonder how much influence the comments that, say, Leon Panetta has made about the case.
Yes, I was actually on the plane. I was the one who asked him if there had been a confession, and I was very surprised when he said, I suspect that was the case. Yes, there are a number of experts who've said that in these high-profile cases, military leaders and civilian leaders should be very cautious in their public statements. However, there was, again, as I said, there has been some political pressure on the United States to express, regret and to apologize. And so, therefore, you have President Obama saying that this is the killings are tragic and shocking. And, and Leon Panetta has gone so far as to call them a criminal act and that there may have been a confession. I mean, that's so generally people think this is not going to disturb the case, disturb the proceedings. But
we don't know yet.
Mr. Panetta should probably be quiet at this point.
Elizabeth Buemiller, Pentagon correspondent for our partner, The New York Times.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing or
politics,
country music,
hockey,
sex of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.